57% of Americans say the large number of migrants seeking to enter the country is one of the main reasons for the rise in crime in the country. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to look at the lack of action by the U.S. government as the number of violent assaults on American citizens and those who are supposed to protect them by those illegally residing in the country is rising. Let's get started. New York City is implementing curfews at migrant shelters due to the rise in crime. Now, shootings in Times Square, purses being stolen by gangs, and smash-and-grab theft rings are now becoming all too common in sanctuary cities across the United States. Now, from San Francisco to Minneapolis to New York City, the rise in crime is hard to ignore. Governor Ron DeSantis even came out with a new bill to prevent Florida from becoming like these liberal cities, becoming overrun by crime.
Why aren't they stealing in Florida? And they're like, because they go to jail in Florida and they don't want to go to jail. So they go back to New York and steal. And so you see that and you're just like, ma'am, we've got to make sure that we don't go down the road of some of these other states.
The violence is no longer random, as police are now being targeted as well, with crime against law enforcement rising to record highs. Now, Mayor Eric Adams' solution? Taking $100 million from schools and starting an NYPD dance team to market the force. But not all law enforcement is spending their time doing the tango on TV, especially in New York City, where there has been a spree of illegal migrants assaulting officers of the NYPD. At Randall's Island Migrant Shelter, officers came under attack by a much larger mob of illegals as they were trying to take one under custody. And this video of a group of illegals attacking several NYPD officers on the streets of New York caused a little bit of attention, but not enough for District Attorney Alvin Bragg to charge the illegals for a crime. In fact, District Attorney Bragg let these offenders go, saying the video evidence wasn't enough. The illegal immigrants involved in the incident have said to have fled to California. Joining me to discuss more in depth and give a personal insight into how the role law enforcement should or should not be handling crimes being committed by those who are in America legally are veteran police officers Dominic Izzo, former U.S. Marshal Matthew Fogg, and former D.C. Metropolitan Police Officer Ronald Hampton. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me, and thank you for your service to our communities and the streets of the United States in keeping law and order. I want to start with you, Ronald, on this first question, because as a former officer of the law, how do you feel when you watch the video of the New York police officers being attacked?
Well, first of all, let me say good afternoon to everyone and say that I have mixed emotions because, people generally don't attack the police. But we have come a long way in a very short period of time as it relates to the relationship between the police and the communities they serve. And so it may not have been as simple as the violence we saw against the police officer. You had to ask the question, what prompted that? What was it that took place before the videotape started? And if it is, then we have to begin to talk about building and rebuilding the relationship that communities have with their police, as well as addressing the behavior of police officers as it relates to their duty that they are sworn to carry out every single day without bias or prejudice.
Ronald, I agree with you. There's always more to the story that's usually not shown just by a short clip. But Dominic, the one part of this that is different possibly from just a regular fight between a police officer and members of the community is that those that are beating up other police officers are here illegal. Do you think that changes any feelings knowing that they are here in this country not legally?
Yeah, my views have gotten a lot more less safe, if you say, over the years since I'm no longer a cop and we see this massive migrant invasion. I don't know why any non or why anybody who crosses the border illegally, who's already a criminal by crossing a border, why they're afforded due process or anything constitutionally wise, because they're not here. I don't. It's insane. It's insane. And simply, it's a different culture invading the United States that is not assimilating properly to our laws, our ways of life, and this is the behavior you're going to get. And this is not new. Back when I was a cop in the early 2000s, we saw this. We had a massive problem with, you know, the people crossing the border who didn't assimilate. And you saw, like, the minor stuff, right, where, like, people didn't know, well, where do I pull over when the blue lights are flashing behind me? Where do I pull over? So they would stop right in the middle of the street. You'd have language barriers, obviously, which dealt with, well, you know, you mean I can't exit my car and resist? So there's a lot of issues that start at the smaller, you know, microcosm level. And then all of a sudden, here we are on, hey, let's go out and beat the crap out of a bunch of cops because we know we can invade this country. Nothing's going to happen to us. And here we are. This is a mindset problem by illegal invaders.
Well, that's how I want to go back to you, Ronald, to go back to your first response. Do you believe that there should be treated differently besides American citizens that are here that might be questioning the law enforcement in the street or those that are here illegally? Should they be afforded the same rights as someone that is already a citizen here?
Of course. And it's guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States. It isn't up in the air. It's anybody who comes, who's here. They have to abide by the rules and regulations. That's why we have a constitution, and nobody's above the law. Nobody's different. And so if a person comes from another state or another country, while they're in the U.S., they have to abide by the rules of the U.S. They also are afforded the pluses as well as the minuses. They have to abide by the law, but then they also have to be given the same rights and privileges that every other person that lives in America lives. So whether they are from Venezuela or South America doesn't make any difference. Once they're in America, then they are here under the rules and regulations of America as well, good and bad, the privileges and the disadvantages of it.
Well, Matthew, I'm going to bring you in because you come at this from a federal law enforcement level, being a U.S. Marshal. And it's not necessarily ICE, but do you think that ICE and local law enforcement should be able to work together closer than what they're doing right now?
Well, yeah, I think, I mean, everybody, we're always trying to figure out ways to work together. I mean, you're talking about the feds, and you're talking about working with the state and locals. It's always an issue. How do we come together? Because a lot of times the state and municipalities have different issues than what the feds have. Now, of course, I worked with Border Patrol on many occasions down in Mexico and places like that in El Paso. And the problem is, you know, you just can't stop people from coming over that border. I don't care what, I don't care how many walls you build or whatever. They're always making ways to figure out how to get into this country because they're looking for a better life. So it's an economic situation. So now when you get these people in these cities, and again, when we look at a video and we see people riding or whatever, we don't know how many of them people are illegal and how many are legal. We don't know who really these people are until you start to identify them. So the media a lot of times will just couch them all into one particular category. Oh, these are all illegals. Maybe not necessarily. So when you're talking about the feds, you're talking about how are we dealing with the issue, what kind of money we're dumping into this situation. People are tired of seeing us dump millions of dollars into the border down there. You just can't bring enough people in to protect that border. I tell people all the time, if you're talking about trillions of dollars trying to protect people from who are going to get across that border one way or another. It's like in prison. How do you keep weapons out of prison? Everything that we do to try to keep them out, they wind up getting in there one way or another.
So Matthew, is your solution then just to just open up the border, just take away all security then? If you think that we're never going to have a way to protect it or to know who's coming in, should we just completely open it up like you're traveling from California to Nevada?
No. I mean, you got to have a border. But the bottom line is this. What is making them come across? Like, for example, this fictitious war on drugs. I mean, come on. Let's get real. The war on this whole drug scenario has created a paradigm for people to say, let me go to America, let me make money off of America. America has to understand, when we had the prohibition of alcohol prohibition, we had all kinds of violence and crime. The moment they decide to regulate alcohol, take that criminal penalty out of it, everything started to change. We got to do that with the war on drugs. I just don't see this continued drug scenario that we have in America. Of course, judges, lawyers, everybody's making money off of it, so that's why it doesn't go away. But the reality of it is, as long as you've got this drug scenario where people can look, you know, make profits off of it, this is a problem you're going to always have. I don't care what you do.
Dominique, do you agree that that would actually solve our issue right here, is legalizing drugs, or would that create more issues, especially for local law enforcement?
My very safe answer on that one is I'm for the decriminalization of drugs, not for legalization of it. So I'm not well educated enough on how it would affect the rest of the society. But yeah, if you wind up getting a kid who's got a bag of weed on him, and I don't know what states have weed illegal or not, it's ruining too many lives. But as far as the border goes, the border is open for drug trafficking and human sex trafficking. It's as simple as that. You have a ton of undocumented people coming over. Who's going to miss a little 15-year-old, a little 5-year-old who has no parents? You have no Social Security card, birth certificate, driver's license, ID. It's human trafficking, and for whatever purpose they're doing it as. The war on drugs, it's a parallel topic. It's also separate. But in this, they're coming here to flood the system. It's as simple as that. Out here in Chicago, we just had a Cook County sheriff, second largest county in the nation, has a task force now for sex trafficking crimes because of illegals. And they're showing people are being abducted from wherever they're being just sent at. The videos are all over of illegal migrants just inside of O'Hare Airport, inside of CPD stations, and people are going missing and being found locked in basements where men are being able to pay for sex with them. So it's a problem massively. They're coming here under an illusion that this is the land of opportunity, and they're being just abused and taken advantage of.
Well, that's the thing, Ronald. I have to ask you, you're right. America had this American dream, but now for some of those that are being brought into this country through trafficking, it's the American nightmare. This is not the dream for them. That's not what they wanted. Do you think it would help if there was better technology in place to know exactly who is coming into the United States over our southern border and where exactly they're going within the United States?
Well, yeah, I think technology would assist in that regard. I think that there are some other things that we need to be doing. I support a much more straighter line between the feds and local policing, because sometimes there are issues that the feds enforce that sometimes create issues for local police departments when they are involved in enforcing the law and regulations and other things. And so because of that, I think that there should be a clear line, that there should be a clear distinction of what the feds do versus what local policing do. And that way we don't get mixed up about that. The other solution is one that takes place and has been operating in Europe for a very long time now. And that's when certain countries have an open border policy. Across the European countries, there's travel, and you can go from country to country because there's an open borders process. Now, there's a limit to that, and that maybe would help solve the problem that America's having with South America when we talk about this whole issue of open or closed borders and what's here and what's not here. I mean, America is going through and supposedly have just gotten through its own economic problems.
Right.
They're getting better, but you still had to look at the economic problems that South America and Central America are going through too. So I don't believe it's as cut and dry and clear as sometimes people want it to be, and it's a real complex problem. But it's not a problem that can't be solved, because there are several examples that exist in the world as it relates to how borders should be handled and how people's transportation through those borders can also handle and reduce the tension and the stress that sometimes we have at our southern border.
Well, Ronald, I agree with you. I do like Europe's idea of being able to go from one country to another, but that is actually people who can provide documentation that have gone through the vetting. They know who they are. That's not the ones that we're kind of referring to. We're talking about the ones that don't have it, that don't come in. And so, Matthew, I want to go to you. Ronald, yes.
I'm going to say, all we got to do is give them the papers. That's all we have to do.
But we do to Canada. We do that with Canada already.
Give them papers, huh?
We
do that with Canada.
The biggest thing with Mexico, the economy is totally different. When you're talking about Mexico and you're talking about the cartels and what's causing all of the violence, so a lot of these people are running away from that violence that has been created because of the war on drugs. If you didn't have that war on drugs, let me tell you something. The economy, everything in South America would be different. But the people are running because there's no, it's almost lawlessness. And then they come to the United States, whatever they're getting, it's better here in the United States than it is over there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they understand that. I don't care what, when they get over here, even if they commit crimes or whatever, it's better to be here than to be in Mexico. And that's why a lot of them people are running from Mexico. Now, if we were to end this war on drugs, which would mean a lot of judges, a lot of lawyers, a lot of politicians would be out of a job if you were to do that. But you would see a vast change when it came down to how Mexico and places like that, the cartels and all that violence that's going on over there, a lot of that stuff would go away because there wouldn't be no, but right. The profit would be taken out of it. So that's what we're really looking at here. How do we stop a border that's thousands of miles? You can't put a person in enough places to stop people. They're going to figure out ways always to get across that border. Well, so that's something that we can't change.
And you're correct about that. And Dominic, Matthew, Ronald, I want you to stay right there because President Biden says he is considering executive action for border policies. But is that really the solution? We're going to continue the discussion with our panel when we come back.
The Russian state-controlled narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi. C'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Welcome back. You're watching 360 View, and I'm Scotty Nell Hughes. On the first few days of the Biden administration, Biden's actions on the border were more about reversing or canceling the border policies from his predecessor, Donald Trump. He immediately halted the construction of the border wall. He extended Title 42. He reaffirmed protections for DACA recipients, and he removed restrictions of those traveling from 14 countries. Now, the Biden administration also canceled the nation's first and only victims office dedicated to assisting people harmed by illegal aliens, The Voice. Office and reenacted the Catch and Release program, which allowed those waiting for immigration court to be released into the community rather than wait in a detention facility for their hearing date. So is this the reason why there's an increase not only in illegal immigrants motivated to come to the United States, but the crime rate which is associated? Well, let's ask our panel. Veteran police officer Dominic Ezel. And we've got former U.S. Marshal Matthew Fogg and former D.C. Metropolitan Police Officer Ronald Hampton joining me again. Thank you so much. Matthew, I want to go back and ask, are sanctuary cities, do you think, more dangerous than other municipalities in the U.S. today?
Are they more dangerous? I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, just the bottom line is the United States is trying to figure out, and these cities, again, these are municipalities are saying, listen, we're not going to keep sitting up here trying to fight this war that is endless. So they just said, hey, listen, this is a sanctuary. Most of these cities that you're talking about, sanctuary cities, are predominantly Hispanic or the people that are coming across the border, their relatives, friends, and so forth. So reality of it is, I don't think it's more balanced. No, I don't think, I don't know of any statistics that show there's more balance in sanctuary cities. It's just that people are upset in America because of the fact that here, somebody's coming across the border illegally, and now they're getting sanctuary. I mean, they have a way to get everything they need. I don't agree with that. All of the resources that are dumping, that we're dumping into how we're supporting these folks. But the bottom line is, They've got to have a place to live. They've got to have food and water and necessities. So when you talk about sanctuary cities, I think municipalities understand that. If we can't, if they're here, we got to deal with them and try to give them something that helps them to
survive. Dominique, your state of Illinois, where Chicago is located, has joined California in actually removing citizenship requirements in order to be police officers. Do you think in the wake of a police officer shortage that this is a good solution?
No, I think we're going to hell. I think you're witnessing the beginning of the end, and we're playing it so safe today. You're talking about assimilation of different cultures, and we all have to be big grown-ups here and acknowledge that nobody's going to be PC anymore. If you're worried about being canceled, sorry, this is we're done. This is a disaster. Sanctuary cities are the most dangerous places in America because now you have people who say, oh, I don't have to abide by a law, and you put them in a pressure cooker with now, let's look at the black community in Chicago, who now has said, what? You're giving our resources to these illegals, their pressure cooker, and then you've got just a, it's just, a, it's waiting to explode. Cops, non-U.S. citizens as cops, our governor, J.B. Pritzker, owner of the Hyatt Regency hotel chain, last time I checked, who can house all these migrants across America if he wanted to. I don't know what he's thinking other than the fact that he must have missed his next meal and his blood sugar is probably low. This is insane on a very small level, and I'm going to single one culture out because Trump got garbage for this, and I want to paint a parallel for this. When Trump had said that Mexico's sending over their worst and their rapists, he meant it in a different context, but I will tell you, this is how culture affects and how he was right. In Mexico at one time, I'm not sure where, so I'm not going to quote myself, the age of consent was 13 in certain areas. When you have a different culture that moves into a United States where the laws are different, and you have two, three families living in a single family home, and they partition off sections where one family is, another family is, X, Y, and Z, you have illegal men here who have to work legal jobs illegally. They work two or three jobs. The problem with cocaine and alcohol in their culture is insane. You have to have an upper to do the two or three jobs, and then you have to have the alcohol to come down. If you don't think the unreported sexual assault rapes that happen in those homes are not an epidemic, you're out of your mind. They go unreported because no family member wants the breadwinner deported by the police back home. So people don't ever want to talk about this because, oh, it's racist. You have Hispanics coming here. You have people from South America coming here. You have people coming from across the sea to get to the southern border. You're flooding our streets with multicultures, and it's no longer the melting pot that America is supposed to be. It is a pressure cooker time bomb for crime that's going to explode. So we have to stop being safe with our language and being culture.
Ronald, I want to give you the last word. We got 30 seconds left in the show. You're over there laughing at what Dominique said. He hit a lot of different issues. Do you agree or disagree? No, 30 seconds.
No, I don't agree with him. And what he doesn't realize is that America is made up of people from all different cultures in the first place. And America is not the melting pot that people think it is. People come here, families come here, they establish themselves in communities and continue the same values and ways that they did in their old country or in their wherever they came from. That's what has made America strong. So I just don't. And there's no evidence, like Matthew Fogg just stated, there's no evidence, no study that say that sanctuary cities are unsafe compared to cities right. that aren't sanctuary cities. So, some of us are more susceptible to those crazy ideas right. that's been permeating our society than others, and that is one of them right there.
Come let your family out here in Chicago really walk quick. On the
street. Okay, hold on, Matthew, real quick, I'll give you a chance to respond, Matthew.
They are here, and we have to deal with them. And I think what cities are saying is, what's the best way to deal with it and keep the violence down? And that's what sanctuary cities. That's where they have come about, and we got to deal with it. No
Dominique,
matter what we do,
Matthew,
they're coming in here.
Dominique, Matthew, yes. Ronald, thank you so much for this discussion. I think there's a difference, though, between dealing with and motivating. I think that's what the continued conversation needs to be, because this is Lachlan Riley. She was a 23-year-old nursing student who was brutally murdered by 26-year-old Jose Antonio Ibarra. Her death was a crime of opportunity, as she just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. The wrong place was on the running trails around her college campus. The wrong time was a morning run. Jose Antonio Ibarra crossed over legally into El Paso in September of 2022. And while police are still trying to gather information on him, more is being released about not only him, but his older brother, Diego Ibarra, who was employed temporarily at the University of Georgia dining hall, but was dismissed when it was found out that he had a fake green card. Now, Diego Ibarra had been arrested 3 times by Athens, Georgia law enforcement for driving under the influence of alcohol, driving without a license, and failure to appear for a fingerprintable offense. Diego had also encountered U.S. border agents in April of last year and was processed for expedited removal, but claimed a credible fear of returning to Venezuela and was released pending claim for asylum. And we don't know all the details of how Lockin died. But we know she was found with visible injuries, and the cause of death was blunt force trauma. Lockin had never met Jose Antonio Ibarra before that fatal crossing of paths. Lockin Riley's murder could have been prevented.
Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right.
And while Democrat politicians are doing everything they can to limit their comments and stay silent on the brutal murder, Republican politicians calling for justice seem just as hypocritical, considering when they had the power to change in border security and immigration law, they were more willing to fight with each other than actually fight for their constituents. Sadly, Lockin and all the other victims of violent crimes committed by those who are here illegally in the United States will never have laws enacted in response to prevent future violence from happening to innocent victims. There won't be a street in front of the White House painted with American Lives Matter, and there won't be violent mobs of parents burning down cities in the name of not allowing illegals who commit violent crimes to be immediately deported back to their home countries. So don't fall for any tears you see that are falling down the cheeks of elected officials all in the name of Lockin Riley. We are past that point in America, where crimes committed by illegals are just in their backyard. Unfortunately, until it takes place at their own kitchen table and they are personally experience the tragedy so many Americans are facing, will there ever be real action done? That time is quickly coming. Because one thing is being made abundantly clear with every legislative action being passed in D.C. The current state of American politics cares more about protecting the borders of other countries and investing in the security of those people rather than the security of American citizens. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 view of the news affecting you. Thanks for watching.